Good morning, Roxy Soxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam. Still home on the range in Nashville.
Do your Nashville accent, please.
Y'all, now I'm so excited.
But you're from Dallas, Roxy.
I'm from Dallas, Texas originally, so that twang just comes right
Do you
on
have cowboy that. Boots?
Girl. You know,
are you
I've
wearing
got
a Dallas
boots.
Thong? I would love to see you in a thong. And it's not even a sexy thing. I just would love to see you walking around in a thong.
How about a thong in cowboy boots?
Yes.
How's that sound?
That reminds me of me in my 20s. I don't think I would do that anymore.
Was that the Tammin of the 20s? Like the 20s Tammin?
Yeah, that's the dating Tammin. That's like when I have to lure them in. Now I've got them. So like now I'm just eating like, you know, Cheetos and couch.
In sweats.
Yeah. I'm like, you want this, right? It's hot.
Holy underwear. I can
Honestly,
see it.
I do have holy underwear.
Do you still wear
Not holy like God-like, but like holes in my underwear.
Because if it's a good pair, it's a good pair.
Sometimes
why throw it away?
I look at my socks. I'm like, I should really throw these socks away. But I'm like, I might need them.
Yeah. How many toes are sticking out?
Like sometimes, you know, we're in a recession.
Yeah.
So you got to keep as much as you can.
You've got to. And you know what? If it covers, I'd say two of the toes, you're still good.
I know. But my underwears are definitely getting higher and higher these days.
I mean, are they waiting for the flood?
Yes, they're getting higher and higher. I'm like, you know what? When you're married for as long as I've been with my partner for 16 years, it's kind of like, I just look at him, I'm like, you wanna? He's like, yeah. I'm like, cool. And then 5 minutes, we're done.
It's easy.
Five minutes, 2.5 minutes. Why am I giving props here when it's not?
Remember like back in the day when you'd wear like sexy negligee, like lingerie.
I looked at all that stuff. I used to just pay like $250 on like a agent provocateur thing that like clipped to another thing, that clipped to another thing, that clipped to another thing. Literally, I couldn't get off.
I mean, now it's just like, why even spend the money? Why do it? But and honestly, I feel like my husband's kind of like, just be naked.
Yeah.
Just be naked. One less layer to have to deal with.
Anyway, on that note, a G-string and some cowboy boots. Who better to introduce?
I have so much to say about all
than
of
Jenna
them.
Kramer!
Jenna Kramer!
Who is the sexiest thing in the world? And if I was like a lesbian, I'd be like, please. I mean, I'm 20% lesbian.
Yeah, you do. You do have the 20%.
But only if someone's super into me. But anyway, welcome to the shit show that is the podcast.
Yeah.
The holy underwear, I like to call them my period underwear.
So oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a handful of underwear. This is like way too much. Yeah. Like, you know, they're like, that's going to come out during this period, this week of my life.
Yeah.
And the cowboy boots, like, I have some.
I know you
I do. Have the, like, I have a really hard time throwing away anything. Well, but I take it back. I don't love clutter, but when it comes to clothes, I'm like, well, you never know when you have to have an audition to be like a, I don't know, something. So I'm like, I keep certain pieces and stuff.
Yeah.
And I had finally this one lady come in and do like a closet rehaul and be like, Jana, how? I was like, well, I've had that since high school.
I know.
Like, it's a good time to like get rid of it. And then I saw my cowboy boots in the to-go and I was like, I can't get rid of them.
No.
Can't. They're like an old slipper. That
You're
going to put these back in the keep pile. Yes.
And you do music too. And I remember my first ever, we were talking about this, my first ever music video, I was in cowboy boots. And I'm Australian.
Wait, which music video?
So I had a couple of albums in Australia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And my first.
I thought you meant country. And I was like, wait a minute.
My husband's like, you should do country. I'm like, I don't know. Do I have to put a twang on? Because I really don't have a twang.
Right. Yeah, no, I remember. Big pop star over there.
But I had the cowboy boots in my first video, and now I can't get rid of them because they just mean a lot to me. And sometimes don't you have outfits like, oh, that was the time that I first got kissed.
Yeah.
And like, that's the time.
I have from when I'm actually a music video, my whiskey music video, I've got this like fur thing, and I was like, I can't get rid of it. It's just, it's, you know, reminiscent of that time.
Yeah.
So. That's secretly my dream, though, is to have like a closet organizer come in and like,
it was pretty great.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know like what to put together.
Right.
And I just feel like I repeat the same thing over and over and over again. So I was like, can you just put together like 10 or so outfits that like, and now I'm like, all right, now what do I wear?
Yeah.
But your house is so nice. I have had the pleasure of being inside it, but I didn't get a real tour. But I bet that everything is, are you like an organized person?
Yes. I like things to be in its place. Like that was always something. With, you know, any that I've dated or my ex, it's like when I say, like, can you put this away? Can it actually go to the place that it's supposed to go to? Not just like halfway to the place, you know?
Yeah,
right.
But, I'm selling my house, so I'm building another one. So it's been awesome for the kids too, because now it's like, all right, guys, every morning make your beds. And so that's been helpful because like we'll have showings and stuff. So we've really had to like lock it down and keep it clean.
Yeah.
So, but I also like, I personally don't like dishes in the sink. Like, it goes straight in the dishwasher. I'm like, if it's empty, put it in. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like, because I think with what we do and stuff, there's just so much
chaos,
noise and chaos. It's like, I want to go home to just like clean
And
like nice.
Yeah.
Clean. So wait, what brought you to Nashville? Because you were in LA before, right?
Yeah. So I moved. I was Michigan, New York to LA. Okay. And then when I was on One Tree Hill, when they turned my character into a singer, that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to move to Nashville. I'm going to really I'm going to do this thing. Because a lot of people said they wouldn't take me seriously because I was an actress. And so I was like, all right, well, then what do I have to do? And they're like, well, move to Nashville. And I'm like, fine, done. Like, I'm here. And so, and then I stayed here for 4-ish years and fell in love with it. And then obviously left, went back to LA to get back into the acting side of things and then found my way back. I just love it here.
It's great, right?
I mean, do you, I don't know, like if you could go back, would you choose another career? Because like acting is so great, but it's just, it's, thank goodness you and I both have other businesses, because if I had just waited for the acting thing, I'd be like homeless. Like, I mean, well, could, or working at a bar.
Yeah.
Like if we didn't have a side hustle, like it's just, it's feast or famine. Like you're on a TV show, and sometimes the TV shows don't, I know when I was on Pretty Liars, it did not pay well.
No, I mean,
you know, people don't know that. Like they think that it gets, you get so much money, but even the leads on that show were not getting paid well.
No, I mean, even when I was on tour, I mean, everyone's like, oh, you must be making so much money. You're headlining for Blake Shelton and all these big tours. And I'm like, I got, wasn't the negative because I was taking tour support because it costs so much money for the buses and all these things. But yeah, I mean, even to this day, it's, I feel like because of that, our world that we're in, it's like you never know when you're going to get a part. And we don't know about Instagram. And so I tried this because I have such a scarcity mindset with money because I didn't grow up with it.
Interesting.
Single mom. And so I've been struggling with it this first few months of the year. I feel like are always kind of tough because you're like, okay, there's so many things up in the air. And so I'm like, I started to just find myself like, get really scared because I'm like, okay, I have to provide and I have to, and I've got a new house that I'm going to. Oh my gosh, what am I doing? And I should probably pull out of that. And then I just, I find myself like almost like hyperventilating because I'm like scared. I'm like, is the money going to come in? There's so much going out and it's like, how am I going to provide for my kids? And I don't know. There's no certainty. I'm like, if this movie goes or not, or this or the other, or branding stuff comes in or out. So I'm just like, okay. So I've like been trying to just be really intentional about like, it'll all end up working out exactly the way it's supposed to. Like, we're not going to be homeless. You know, if I can't move into the new house we're building, fine. I pivot.
Right.
You know, so it's just, and while still being, staying grateful for everything that I do have, because I also know how grateful I, the things that I have, and I have beautiful kids and a beautiful home and we're healthy. And so it's just, it's very hard too, because on the side note, I told my friend, I go, I'm just really sick and tired of, I'm like, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being tired and like hustling so much that I'm like, when like, and she goes, that's when she's like, that's when you got to start asking God for like what you really want. She's like, have you ever just said like, please, like I want
this.
You know, like I've worked really hard. And so now my like, my prayers and my daily stuff are a little bit more intentional of like what I truly want.
So do you consider yourself a religious person?
I consider myself, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm spiritual. I'm a Christian. I'm fine with that other people have beliefs. I just need someone, like if I, for my boyfriend example, I'm like, you don't have to be a Christian, but I still need you to believe in something.
Something greater than this.
Yeah, because I'm like, me and the kids pray every night. And we pray over our dinner and, you know, they thank God for things at the end of the night. And like for me, it's, that's how I've been able to stay appreciative and grounded and also not alone in knowing that like, I know I'm not the only person struggling about like how I'm going to, you know, or like, I think the purpose is the big thing. Like, what's my purpose? Like, truly, like, what am I doing? Like,
I know we're
like,
on a big old rock in the middle of nowhere.
What is this all for? You know, like, is this reaching anybody or is this like, and so I think I, that's like my biggest struggle because I just really like, I want to provide, but I'm also tired.
So I, 2 years ago, was I believe that it's God. I don't exactly know what that looks like. But I believe that there's something greater because, you know, because of my kids, really. Like when I had my children, like I freak out about death probably every night just because of the finality and what happens next. But when I saw like nothing and then something with a soul and a, there has to be something greater than just this. It can't just be so meaningless. And, you know, I'm a big believer in also manifestation, which they talk about in the Bible. So my manifestation is just saying it like it's already happening. And so 2 years ago, I just said we were in a really bad place because the pandemic happened. We weren't working. We like left our house. We were like kind of figuring out where to live. My husband almost died from COVID. And I just was like, I saw my future and I visualized it and I said it was already happening and I started to feel, like you said, grateful, because when you live in a scarcity mindset, you cannot feel good. And when you don't feel good, you attract negative energy. And then you're constantly living in that spiral of like scarcity, negativity, and you can't attract anything into your life. So the only way to attract good things is to feel, like you said, grateful.
Yeah.
And to practice gratitude. And when you actually go, oh my goodness, I have so much, then all of a sudden you'll see the opportunities will start to come. But it is a very, and I get it. I'm like, I'm parallel with you. Every day I wake up and I go, what's, because you know, like, you can get a brand deal for like 50 grand or like crickets for a month, like, you don't know, or like 100,000 or nothing, or so it's just, it's like life-changing to certain people, and like to me it's at certain times it was really life-changing, and then it's really hard to live in that unknown.
Yeah, it's tough. That's where, when you ask about the career, it's like, it would be nice to have something that I know is set in place. But is anything ever really set in place?
You can always get fired from a job.
You know what I mean? Like, you can get fired or something can come up or the company could fold. It's like, no one's really secure in what they do or the job that they're in. So it's just like kind of how you look at it. It's kind of like what I've been shifting my mindset to.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, you know, you've had a lot of change in your personal life too over the last few years. And just looking from the outside, looking at it, seems like you're very strong, like a very strong person. And, you know, very convicted, like when we were talking earlier before the podcast started. But did your, like, the like, kind of living on these higher vibrations, manifestation, spirituality, religion, did that help carry you through those times?
Yeah, so I was not, I mean, I grew up Catholic. That was my, but we went to church Christmas and Easter. Like, it wasn't like a thing really in my house. We didn't pray. I mean, we said, like, God is good, God is great, listening for food, amen. That meant nothing. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, like, something that you, whatever, repeat and say. And it wasn't until truly my divorce that I was just like, all right, my hands are up. Like, what are you trying to tell me? You know, and I'd gone to church here and there from time to time, like in my marriage. But, you know, post it, I was just so alone. And I'm like, I can't, like, and everyone's kept saying, you're not alone, you're not alone. I'm like, no, I am physically alone.
Yeah.
Like, I am alone.
Except don't give me toxic positivity.
But like, then I'm like, well, what if I'm not, you know? And then so just kind of having those conversations and then having that random, real awkward, I'll never forget, just being like, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, it's just
Are you there? Can you hear me?
You know? And then, like, then it just became more normal every time that I would say what's up, you know? And then, you know, going to church, I just remember sitting there and everyone's like standing up and praising. And I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, I'm not here. And then you start to stand up and you're like, okay. And then that is what helped me just kind of, okay, look at, it's all happening for bigger reasons and he has a plan. And now, do I believe that he got swallowed or someone got swallowed by a big fish? Like, there's certain stories that I'm like, I really struggle with. And I asked my pastor, I was like, can I be a Christian and doubt that, you know,
maybe
a man and
a
woman was like, boom, man and woman. Like, I know how babies are made, you know?
Right.
So I think that's, he's like, you're asking questions and that's what makes you a Christian. That's what, you know, but it's also faith too. So I'm like,
and it's also, so I went to Jerusalem and, you know, what's interesting about that, and I got rebaptized in the, where Jesus was baptized by a Nigerian priest. And it was like so intense and it was so beautiful. But it's so fascinating because, like, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and like the Wailing Wall and the Dome on the Rock, which is Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, like they're the most important, their most important sites are like walking distance. So of course we're like, I just feel like it's all the same thing and it's all the same lesson, but we all just got it like a little, it's like Chinese whispers, you know, like someone got a little wrong here and we're all fighting for the same thing, which is at the end of the day, it's all about love, isn't it? Isn't that the whole thing? And that's why I get a little frustrated when I see like what's been going on in America. It's like, you know, it's all the same. Like you need to, and you said too, like sometimes the most hateful comments are people who are like saying that they're people who love Jesus. It's like, but Jesus is about love and acceptance and not putting your ego and not tearing people down. And that's where I get a little funny about my faith is when I go, I don't like that Jesus is showing up or God is showing up in like that.
I agree with you. And it's hard to look at, especially because you're like, wait a minute. But again, you just have to go by what you know and what like how you should be acting. And that's, you know, that's where I look at people and go, okay, they're just broken and they're hurting.
Right.
You know, so they must want to hurt other people.
Right.
You know, you mentioned feeling alone, you know, when you were going through all of that. And it made me think too about like previously before I was married, like my sort of like trajectory with dating and like being in relationships. And I sort of feel like I was that serial monogamous that really didn't leave a lot of time in between relationships. Yeah. Like jumping in from one to another.
Yeah.
Not that that's good. You know, I mean, you know, I feel like previously in my dating life before I got married, I was sort of like that serial monogamous. Like I'd sort of jump from relationship to relationship, not leaving a lot of time in between.
Yeah.
Which kind of, when I look back now, I'm thinking, gosh, I probably should have had that time in between to really get to know myself.
Uh-huh. So, I wish I did.
Right? Do you, were you like that as well?
I was such a bad, I was so afraid of being alone.
Right.
And this is, again, I've been with someone for a very long time. I almost crave it now. Like, I almost wish that I'd had 4 years by myself or, you know, because there's so many things I wanted to do alone that now I would feel guilty. Mm. But like you said, I always, I even had someone, this is what's so screwed up. I even had someone that I would jump to before I left the person that I was with because I was so afraid of being alone. Mm-hmm. Like I could not, from the ages of like 17 to when I met my husband, I would just go from one to the next to the next because I just did not want to be like, it really scared me.
It scared you, right? Because you're like, what am I doing? And then, but looking back, you're kind of like, shit, why
didn't I
do that?
I wish I had just,
So like now post-divorce and everything, how is that like resonating with you? Are you feeling like you're enjoying some time, you know, as a single person, or do you want to like date again, or like how's that all working out?
Well, so to backtrack a little bit, for me with that is, I always define my happiness it with being in a relationship, and love. So like, I am loved if I'm in a relationship. So that's where I think, and too, I hated being alone.
Like, where does it come from?
The worst, childhood trauma. Like not feeling. So it's like all the messages that I heard, like I'm not good enough. I don't deserve love. I deserve X, Y, and Z. And so also through that, picking the wrong men, bad men, and then you know, just again jumping. And I would do the same thing. I would jump to someone. Like, you know, while I was still with someone, it was awful. And then with my divorce, it was after that. I mean, I got into a relationship way too soon, like post-divorce. And then after that was like, okay, I just attracted again, yet again, the same exact man. Like, okay. So that's when I went to this place called Onsite and spent like 5 days in this, like, this basically size of this room with a therapist and just like tore down the messages of shame and like walked through a bunch of things that like I had no idea that I was still carrying and holding on to. And it changed me not only, you know, for my friendship relationships, boyfriend relationships, or, you know, love relationships. Like there was such a twist, a change inside of me that was like, oh, wow, like I need this time to be alone. I need to just like sit and kind of reshape everything, all the messages. And so I spent I promised my therapist that I would be alone for 6 months. Like, not like, and I was like, define alone. Like, I want a date. She's like, okay, fine, no relationships, you know, for like 6 months. Like, would love a year, but I'm like, like, I'll do 6 months. And just because I love relationships. I love that. But I also, so when I started dating, if I started to like see a red flag or if like they're not my person, I'm like, you're out, bye. Like, this is my sacred space. I don't want anyone in my home or space, or like, I don't have a lot of time. I have my kids 70% of the time. I'm working. Like, it's got to be the right thing. And so through that, like I had some fun, went on some dates, figured out what I liked, what I didn't like. And then again, just was like truly alone. And then I remember getting a DM from a guy, and I was kind of like, oh, just like, I'm really just enjoying being alone. Like, I really do love like this. Like, I get to come home to a quiet house. I remember my neighbors across the street were fighting, and they're like, well, I want to put the chair here. And like, well, I want to put the chair here. And I'm like, I get to put the chair wherever the hell I want. You know what I mean? Like, this is great. But something like kind of kept pulling me to this message or whatever, and then I ended up responding back, and he's not my boyfriend. So
See, I know a little bit more about Roxy. He lives in London, which is like one of my favorite places in the world.
So he lives right outside.
And there's a
England.
Direct flight, right?
There is a direct flight.
From I know.
I'm actually leaving in 2 days again.
So it's either British Airways or Virgin, right?
British, yeah.
Just British, because I'm gonna go on one of those flights over the summertime. So it's British Airways, and it's what, like 8 hours?
Yeah, so it's 7 hours there and then 9 hours back. Yeah. So I've been going about like once a month, because he's in he used to play. Well, I'm just gonna say soccer because that's how I know it. But he used to play soccer, and now he's a soccer coach over in England. So
nice.
But yeah, it's been great. I'm glad he slid into the DMs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it. Yeah, so what is it about great. Him that is that you
Something
love?
about him just feels different. When I met him, we had our first date at the One Hotel. And he's kind of like his back was, you know, I didn't see him and he turned around and it was just there was something I was like, "Oh, this is it, I think." You know, and it was kind of like that awesome
wow
feeling. So, but you know, I also know relationships are tough and it's hard. And so it's like I'm trying not to say too much because it's like I don't want to jinx anything. Mm-hmm. But it just feels different. I feel like there's – with this relationship, there's so much respect. Like he respects me so much and I respect him. I'm very careful with my words and like I just I think with us is there's just an immense amount of respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has just really – made it such a loving relationship.
Yeah. That's exciting.
And I trust him, which is odd.
Yep. The new boyfriend is in London, but he's from Scottish. He's from Scotland.
No, he's from Scotland. He's working on the Norwich, I'm going to say that wrong, but team. And so it's about like 2.5-3 hours out of London. So he's not like in London, which is it's a bummer, but at the same time, it's been so great because when I go there, I really, because it's like I'm constantly like on the go. Mm. So it's been really nice to just go, okay, when I come here and he's at work, I get to like go for really peaceful like cottage walks and like just like, and I'm finishing up something right now that needs, you know, my full attention. So like I've been devoting that time to, you know, to do that when I'm there. So
yeah.
But it's been great. He's
awesome. But new love is awesome.
Oh, yeah. God, there's
especially when it feels like good, and that's the thing. I'm like, I won't settle for anything less than like I now know what I deserve, and that feels good too. And it also feels good knowing that regardless of what happens, if I stay with him, if we break up, like I will be okay either way.
Yeah,
and that's the piece that I've never been okay with. I was always like, oh my God, like if we break up, then that just again confirms that I'm not loving or I'm not enough, and I don't deserve it. It's like, no, I do, and it's just maybe it wasn't my person, but this one feels a little different.
Oh no! So have your kids met him?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keeping that for a little while.
I'm like my kids are like my
has to be
like,
a real,
yes.
Yeah, it's like it needs to be.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you and you've spoken about this before, but when you found out your husband, like when you ended up saying I'm done.
Yeah.
I thought that was so brave because I know that he had done such horrible things, right? Mm-hmm. But there's still a part of me that like. Because, again, talking about being afraid of being alone and the person that you love and the father of your children, like, I almost think, I don't know. I mean, I'd hope I'd be strong enough, but there's a part of me that'd be like, well, I'll just kind of stay in this, even though it's really terrible.
Yep.
Because I don't want to be alone, and I don't even know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would probably, I don't know, 50-50. I might have stayed, I might not have stayed, but... Mm-hmm. When did you realize that, like, because, like, you knew that you were done, but then you actually had to tell him, like, this is over?
Yeah, I think when I found out about the first round of affairs, it was when my daughter was, like, 4 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, like, you don't get to, like, ruin my family, and take my baby basically away from me to, like, this is not fair because of your indiscretions. That's when I was like, go figure out what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't. And also, I didn't want to leave because I'm like, well, what if he does change?
Yeah.
You know, I would always have that regret.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we had another kid and there was a few other relapses and a few other, you know, instances that happened. And every time I'm like, oh, God, like this is just so hard because every time we'd build up blocks, they would just be like right back down. But I think the core of it was there was never any trust after the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could say I forgived him. I don't really think I actually forgave him, you know, which was work that was undone in me. Like, but at the same time, when the person continues to not be faithful, that is hard. And I truly got to a place where I was just like, you know what, okay, like I know now what my daughter's seeing, and this is not good for her to see how I'm being, how he's being, how we were acting towards each other, and the volatileness, I guess, is that that's a word, that was in our house now because of that, just the negative energy and like me constantly living my life, not knowing whether I'm going to get another message from another girl or see something or find something. Like I just like it made me like a shell of a person. And I was like, I can't live my life like this anymore. And I don't want to keep waiting for the next shoe to drop. And so when, you know, what happened finally happened again, I was just like, I'm out. Like, I can't do this anymore. And so, yeah, I sat in bed and I bawled my eyes out. I'm like, I'm going to be alone forever. Who's going to want to be with me? I think every girl goes through that after this kind of situation. And the truth is that's not true. Like, you will find love again if you want to. Mm-hmm. And no one should ever settle for something and stay in something when it's that unhealthy. And for me, that's why I was just like, I got to get out because there was no – what I want for my children is not what they were seeing.
Looking back now, just kind of always hindsight is 2020, right? Were there certain warning signs or red flags that kind of popped up along the way?
Yeah.
I mean, I think
– Always.
Right?
Yeah. Always. Wasn't there a lot – there was a lot of women, right?
Yeah.
So tons. When you found out, I think you said there was like so many women.
Yeah, the first round for sure.
So how, like, did you think you saw, but you just didn't want to see it?
Well, that first time, I mean, yeah, looking back, I'm like, oh, of course he was acting this way or 100%. But, you know, you turn a blind eye, but I believed him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, you know.
And you loved him.
Yeah.
Right.
I loved him. He was the father of my children. And so, you know, and that's his cross that he has to bear and everything. And, you know, he's got to, you know, yeah.
But how do you co-parent in that? Because, I'm actually, we've talked about this before. I think I would hope to be, like, a very nice, like, you seem very centered. But you kind of want to, like, in a way, because they hurt you so, but you found love. So maybe that's not why. But you want to make them pay. It's like, no, you can't talk like this. You can't, don't feed the kids this. Don't, like, how do you co-parent with someone that, like, you really don't like anymore?
Right. it's definitely hard. And, I still hear things around town that, he doesn't admit to things. And you know what? And that used to really bother me because I'm like, he still doesn't own up to it. But I'm like, it doesn't really matter. You know, he never owned up to me about it. But even when I had the receipts, you know. So it's like, at this point, I'm like, it's easier to be friends with him than to hate him.
Yeah.
Oh, so at this point, you guys are like friendly.
We're fine.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, you know, again, it's like I want my kids to see us interact cordial together. Mm-hmm. We have a few laughs here and there. There's still some, I wouldn't say hurt. It's just... When I start to go down, if I start to think about something or if I hear, you know, someone had told me that he, you know, made a comment about something and basically claiming that he didn't do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, it's just because you would want them to, like, own up to their sins.
And also it makes you not look crazy.
Right.
Right? It's like the woman who's, like, always the crazy one.
Right. And I'm like, what? But, like, you know it did. Right. So it's like, and so I want to call and be like, how could you say that to this person? And, like... And so, but again, like, why? Like, why would I do that? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because I never got the truth. You think I'm going to get the truth as a friend or as a co-parent? No. So bottom line is I have to put our stuff, throw it out because it's gone. It's over. And try and find some way to move forward with him and go, okay, he can do whatever he wants now. He can lie to whoever. He can be in love with whoever. He can be the best version of himself. And I pray he's the best version of himself for someone else. Like, that means that I made it a little bit of an impact for him to, like, be the best version.
Right.
And hopefully we can high five on the soccer field sometime and go like, all right, like, we're doing this as best as we can. But yeah, sure, it's so hard because I'm like, I didn't want this. I didn't want to be... you know, divorced and have my kids leave. And having said that, I look at now being, and I can say this too, being alone, even before I met my boyfriend, but I enjoy my alone time so much more.
It's kind of nice to have it.
That's amazing. So that was like, okay, thank you. Like, so I've thanked him on that, like in my mind, like, okay, like this is, actually a way better life. I'd rather be alone than this stuff that we were going through. And then also now having my boyfriend, like, I've never in my wildest, like, of all days with him ever been loved the way that, like, this man loves me and, like, how he loves me and how he speaks to me. And I'm like, that's what I deserve, whether it again works out or it doesn't. But, like, I wouldn't have gotten that with my ex. So again, it's like, thank you. Because as painful as it is to not be with the kids, you know, those 30% of days, I still get to have happiness too.
Mm-hmm. And you have them.
Yeah.
Right. Because
and
of him.
And I have them. And uh-huh. yeah, and I'm so grateful that we created these two beautiful beings. And, mm-hmm. you know, I get to be their mom. Like, they're incredible. Yeah. So with that, it's like, all right, let's just do a really good job and try mm-hmm. to put our differences aside. We don't do it perfectly. Mm-hmm. But I think we've done a really good job. And, you know.
And well, do you feel like you've forgiven him at this point?
I don't even think healing? There's anything, like, mm-hmm. to even, like, I don't even, like, that's a really good question because mm-hmm. it's like, it's not even about him anymore mm-hmm. that it's like, I think what he did still hurts, mm-hmm. will always hurt and mm-hmm. have a little, like, pain to it.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is interesting. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a really good question. Mm-hmm. I don't, because it's like, they always say, like, forgive for yourself, not for the other person. Mm-hmm. But I've forgotten about, like, not I've forgotten mm-hmm. about it, but, like, I don't, like, it doesn't hold weight to me anymore. Like, I don't need mm-hmm. his apology, even mm-hmm. if he was to give me a, like, I don't, it's just, like.
And you don't need to forgive to move on.
No. Like, no. I've moved
like, you
on.
Can just not yeah, forgive just and just move on.
Move on. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I think I've said I've forgiven him in past things, and I kind of think about it now. And I remember I did the Red Table Talk, and we were talking about toxic forgiveness, and she's like, did you feel forced to forgive him? And I'm like, it's just such an interesting topic, because I'm like, I don't, like, do I have to?
Yeah.
But not still have the, like, I don't have any, like, hatred towards him.
Yeah.
I don't like the things he did in our marriage. But
I think it's, like, leading with that idea of, like, looking at people who do really bad things of being really sick individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're sick, suffering individuals. And yes, they do then do things to you, which is horrible, but they need
to
go.
I've done bad things in my past too because of things that, like, so it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I can have empathy that, like, he probably didn't want to do any of those things he did in our marriage. Mm-hmm. He was dealing with something that he was dealing with in his personal life. I don't know, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, if you look at it from that angle, it's like, I can have empathy for him
mm-hmm.
that he probably didn't want to be in the situation, but I know damn well that we are both in a way better situation apart.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And that's great that you guys are, like, coming to the co-parenting, you know, trying to do it together, because that's the ultimate kind of goal, right?
Sure.
One day to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, just aligned as parents.
Cordial. Yeah. We don't
have
to be
best cordial, friends.
Right?
Just
cordial, right? Let's, you know, have a few laughs and
yeah.
to have the kids see us. Because I had this one girl at one of my shows. She came up to me and she's like, I really appreciate how you've been handling the split and co-parenting situation with your ex. She's like, because my parents were always, if they were in the same room, they were always fighting, you know, and when they were divorced. And she's like, it's nice. It would have been so nice if they were just cordial. And I'm like, okay, I love that. And I'm going to make sure that I don't want Julie or Jace to have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh God, mom and dad, are they going to cause a scene like, when they're together? Or is, like, mom going to be a bitch? Or is dad going to be, like, whatever, you know? So.
And you said that you had some childhood trauma from that, right? So how were you raised?
Was it
a good childhood?
My dad cheated on my mom. Like, you know, so it was just that he left, started a new family. So there was, like, a slight abandonment. Like, oh, well, are we not enough for you to stick around for? And so it's just, you know, all that. It's just, like, and then it was always that I could feel the tension when they were in the room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I knew my mom didn't like him because he cheated, you know? So it's just, it always made it very uncomfortable. Now it's amazing. I actually, over Thanksgiving, I was staying at my dad's house and my mom, I was like, hey, mom, do you want to come in? And they were all sitting there with their husbands and wives. And I was looking and I'm like, I hope I can get there. Because I'm like, it like made my little child inside of me like so happy to see like my parents that like I would have loved to have seen that when I was little, you know, so.
That's cool. So let's talk about something that's totally not related. Your
please.
Cute little hot bod.
Oh.
So can you please give me some exercise and tips, please?
Yeah.
Like,
were
you,
Bria?
But wait, you were born.
And 9
what are they?
What are you?
What am I? Oh, you're Erin. Yes, I reached out to her.
83. She's not.
She's not available, but she has someone else that teaches her technique. And I'm like, but does the other person who teaches your technique going to give me Jana's body? Because I want her body.
I used to figure skate, and so I was always like. My legs were always kind of
always
thicker,
lean, right?
Lean-ish, but yeah. I did gain weight when I went to, I was like 30 pounds when I got like depression medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I gained about 30 pounds on Zoloft, and that was really hard for me to get off.
Interesting.
But
you changed it because you just came off something recently.
I just got off Lexapro, I was on it for like 19 years.
And that didn't make you gain weight?
No, it actually made me lose weight.
Interesting.
Helped me lose the Zoloft weight. But yeah, but I I didn't, when I was younger, I didn't have, I wasn't like stick thin, but you know, I had like a more of like a athletic.
And I don't even know if we're allowed to ask these questions, but I'm like, I want to look like that. I'm like, in 2023, I mean, can you even ask this question?
No, I mean, in after Jace was when I really started to like get my like really work out and run, you know, my trainer always says, if you want to lean, run.
I feel like I do that.
And then like, if you want to come over Tuesdays and Thursdays,
work
she
out
comes
really
over.
Hard. So I'm going to come over and be like, bitch, you did not. I found a different way to get here.
And just come on and on. I have people that come and drop in on the sessions all the time with me because I like to work out with people. That's
It's fun.
I know. I know the things that she does. I could do it by myself, but I have to be told what to do.
Yeah,
like,
right,
or
right.
I'll just stand there and be like,
I have a home gym and I don't use it. I go, like, go to places.
Good.
I have all the things.
Great.
But you must be very disciplined then. Like, you're like, are you pretty
like
much...
What's your food? Like, what do you eat for breakfast?
So I do these overnight oats. So it's got like 40. So it's like, it's oatmeal.
I feel like I do that.
And then it's very...
You eat meat?
I do eat meat. Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. I don't eat...
All meats?
I eat everything. I really do. Like, I'm all about moderation. Like, the other day I had a cake and brownies and
I think it's just genetic.
Yeah, no.
With hard work, genetic and hard work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'll always like, and this is like... But I mean, like, I've never had a flat stomach. Like,
Neither have I.
Ever.
It's just never
No matter
happened.
What I do, it's like, it's so, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm a mom now, too. And so it's like, you know, the C-section scar is a little flat, but I'm like, it's all good. Like,
I've seen your stomach. It looks pretty
flat.
Well,
I'm just saying. Like, you know,
it's pretty flat. It's pretty amazing.
You know, like, it's.
Look, my 20% lesbian is coming out.
See, there it is.
I'm like, you've got an amazing.
If things don't work out with
stomach.
I'm for sure going
to
right
stare.
Here.
I'll just stare at your stomach the whole time. I'll just be like, can you just show me your stomach? So beautiful.
I think it's all about moderation, though. Like, truly. Like, and I hate that when people always say that, but it really is. And I think 80% of it's in the kitchen.
It is. It's the food.
Yeah. But, so I will say, like, I've stopped, like, eating cheese and, like, certain things that.
Yeah.
You know, but I still love my wine. And
But then the French fry platter comes out.
We did
and
have
I'm
French
like,
fries. So I eat a French fry once a week,
right?
Not every day.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I feel like I'm doing all that. You know, I think it's age. Like, we are almost identical the same age.
Yeah.
And I just feel like as you get older, everything just changes. But I've accepted myself so much more than I did when I was younger. I really
love
wanted
my
to
mom
look
bod
as.
Now.
You do not have a mom bod.
No, like, no, like
you are.
But I mean, I'm just
you
saying,
have
like
you were
like
one of the best. You should be in this the shape of like the Shape magazine. Like Woman Fitness.
Very sweet.
I'm serious. Unless you edit your pictures, which I know you don't. So
don't edit, but I'm like,
you edit in a different way.
Right, yeah. It's a constant suck in, though. It's like I forget, and then it's like.
That's why I loved being pregnant, because it's like, you don't have to suck in.
Suck it.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You can make excuses for everything. Yeah. Although I really like pregnancy sex.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I really liked pregnancy
did
sex.
Did you really?
I was actually the best sex of my life to the point where I would have a third baby just for the sex.
Would you have a third baby?
I really want, my husband doesn't want one.
Oh.
It's really hard. Yeah, I don't even know if I can keep this in the podcast, but he's done.
Oh.
Yeah. But to be fair, he did 50% of the work and we don't have nannies.
Okay.
And so like he was up with all of them at nighttime and his career is finally starting to take off. And he said, like, he goes to me the other day, he goes, it's not that I love my kids so much, but like, I kind of want a hobby.
Yeah.
I don't even have time to have a hobby. And he does 50% of it. And so I can't be like, well, I'm doing 90%. I want another baby. It's not going to affect you. I thought I'd have a son. Three girls is kind of awesome too.
Yeah.
But I'm also, as I'm in my late 30s, as I at some point get into my 40s, I kind of want to enjoy myself and working out with you.
Come on, girl.
No, I loved pregnancy sex. I thought it was great. A lot of people lose their sex drives after having babies, but
I think for me, it was like more the logistics. Like, I think I was like, feeling, you know, like nothing was kind
just
of felt
lay
so
down.
Comfortable.
just lay down.
I know. I think we kind of sort of got to the, like, in close to the end, you know? And it's just like, you just are kind of trying to do it any which way that kind of works.
I mean, that's
point.
Where dimples come from.
Yeah. That's right.
And on that note, just like we started, we're going to play a 2-second game.
Oh, I love games.
Yay.
Yeah. Games are like my love language.
So our game is called Never Have I Ever. I'm going to ask you like 4 questions and then we're done. Roxy Soxy, go for it.
Never have I ever dated a friend's ex.
A friend's Oh, yeah, I have. She's like the guy that I'm dating.
Like, true, and yes. True.
She's like a few times. But did you know?
That they were ex?
Yeah.
When you, okay.
But yeah. Here's the thing, though. I'm the
did
kind of person.
Did she care?
No.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Did you tell her before?
Before it came out.
Before the world was going to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm like, when I'm done with, this sounds terrible. When I'm done dating someone, if they're not my person, I'm like, who can I hook up? I love giving. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, well, my friend, which so-and-so is single? You would love her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like, I don't mind
it. Cool, yeah. So,
but. Did you guys stay friends?
Yes, still friends.
Interesting. I'd kill you, Roxy. Don't even think I'm like, about it. Sure.
I
would kill you.
My ex, well, the guy that I married for like a week, is married to one of my best friends, Julie Solomon.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so, Julie
yeah,
yeah. Solomon. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love how you're like, I was married to him for a week.
Total 1 week. Wait, was it the total of the whole marriage was 1 week?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was one of those I walked in the aisle and I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I love it.
Meant
and you guys
Julie.
Are all friends now, right? Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, but
okay, never have I ever stolen something.
Mm. I stole something at Hollister. Yes. Oh, so it's true. I don't have to own up to it.
No, no, you do
Hollister
now.
Hollister is now going to like, no, it was my last day and I quit and I stole like a tank top or something from the back.
No, I don't steal, but like on set, I have a few times gone home
I've
in a boot.
Taken jackets.
Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay, I don't
like
find that already. Stealing.
That's,
I say
not,
my
that's just my job. I was like, these lovely boots. I came home with like snow boots and they texted me like, hey, do you know where your snow boots are? And I'm like, I'll look. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Can neither confirm
just don't wear it to the next
deny.
Movie. Exactly. Okay, second last one.
Never have I ever been arrested.
I've never been arrested. I've been to a jail.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I've never been arrested.
What were you doing at the jail?
One of the guys that I was dating got into a fight, and I had to bail him out. Oh. Classy. Like I said, I picked real winners back in the day. Some real winners.
We're glad that you met this new guy who seems really good.
Never been to jail.
Who will not be going to jail.
Who will not be going to jail. Hope not. Jeez.
Hey, last one. Oh. Never have I ever kissed a girl.
I've never kissed a girl.
What?
Tammin, now you're in.
She's so
like,
sad.
Let me be the first.
No, I've never.
Have you?
Because like in my 20s, like my 20s drunk at a bar to like impress a guy, you know, like that kind of stupid thing where you're like, oh, I'm going to get like some
interesting
attention.
So you're really like 100% dudes.
I mean, I love dudes.
Dudes. you go, I love dudes.
I did have a crush on a girl when I worked at TGI Fridays. She was really cute. She was
interesting.
Like, I'm very into like the Abby Wambach, Ashlyn Harris vibe. Like more of like a like
masculine.
Yeah. I couldn't do like a lipstick lesbian. Mm. Like too pretty. You would be too pretty for me.
Oh my God. I'm kind of offended and then also really flattered. I'm like kind of experiencing all the range of emotion.
Right.
I'm like, she thinks I'm pretty, but then she won't kiss me. This is very strange.
So, but we can be besties. Now that we live here.
Okay. Okay. It's fine.
Just don't try to make out.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
Well,
just keep an eye open.
This
don't
one,
ask me to sleep over. Exactly. Just put me in the downsides bedroom.
You're like,
unlock me.
So
I slept over at Jamie's house, which is our mutual friend, and I got into her bed. Not because I wanted to kiss her, but I got like really lonely. So I like snuggled her.
Yeah, I'm a big snuggler.
She was so angry. She's like, get out of my bed.
I will.
She's like from Korea, and she was like, this is not what happens. No.
Yeah, I'm like, come on,
you
love me.
Oh, see, you could. Snuggles. There could be a snuggle partner.
It's fine. I haven't kissed a girl for 10 years, but
I thought it was interesting though because Megan Keane came on yesterday, and she said that she went on a date with
a girl like, and was not her thing.
It was not her thing, but she had to test it out, right? Like she kind of tested it out.
You know what the problem is? Like I kiss a girl and then I'm like, then what? You know what I mean? Like.
There's no penis.
Well, that's I mean, like I said, I love. Dudes. And I love my man's
dudes.
My man.
Yeah.
My man's dudes.
And on that note, kids, we've really come full circle in this interview. And Jenna's very excited that she finally came on the show.
Yes.
So I bugged her for so long. I'm really big into like bugging people until they feel obligated.
No, I love you. I'm so glad. It's like
they feel so obligated. Like,
you know, with kids,
like shit, I have to go now. I can't say no three times.
I'm so glad we did this. Thank you for having me.
Yes,
I just bug you into saying yes.
To say yes. Oh,
just no is not an option.
Now, I have creative ways to say no now.
She does.
I do go around a circle.
Well, guys, go and yes, go listen to Jenna's podcast, which is Wine Down. Wine Down. And go on her Instagram to find everything else. And then you have some tours coming up?
Yep. So, just go on JennaKramer.com or follow me at Kramer Girl.
And that's all that. Thanks, guys. We love you. I am Tamin. Nope. Follow us on Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook. And don't forget to rate, subscribe,
and comment. I am Tamin Sirsak.
And I am Roxy Maddie.
And we are Women on Top. She's like, I don't know what podcast this is.